Dear loving and gracious Lord God, thank you for revealing yourself to us in word and sacrament. Thank you for making your home with us, for coming and being with us so that we can have a glimpse of the power of God's grace, mercy, and love. Pour your Holy Spirit on us this day that we may walk as children of light, forever demonstrating your glory. And we ask this in the name of your Son, our Savior and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Does anybody remember Polaroids? So Polaroids happened before digital photography and 5K taking pictures with your cell phone that are incredible. And they were instant. What was it about a Polaroid? It took time. Remember, you took the picture and then you had to wait. No, you had to do this. Who had a Polaroid? Yeah, good. So you had to shake it, and eventually the image came up. Well, I think today the Polaroid image is really an important image of the Feast of the Transfiguration, because slowly but surely who Jesus was is coming into focus for the disciples. And what happened on that mountain was a Polaroid moment, captured on an unnamed mountain, experienced by three disciples, Peter, James, and John, extraordinary men, ordinary men, witnesses to a supernatural and extraordinary event. If only they'd had a Polaroid, perhaps they could have captured the beauty, the colors, and the sightings of holy men. And it was something they would remember the rest of their lives, a moment of searing clarity when they were confronted with Jesus' identity as the Son of God in uncontestable terms. The truth of who Jesus was slapped them in the face. The way, the truth, and the life blazed before them. And that which was vague, an undefined awareness, now becomes clear. The story of the Transfiguration is God's way of showing us who Jesus is. This divine encounter on a mountaintop is the ultimate Polaroid, the final demonstration of the Lordship of Jesus Christ before he goes to the cross. So why does this event take place? Why do we need to know about it? Roughly a week before, Jesus had asked his disciples, who did people say that he was? When he came to the region of Caesarea and Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked, who do you say that I am? An old stumbling, bumbling Simon Peter says, oh, I know who you are. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So it wasn't just the crowds who were talking about Jesus, but his disciples were asking the same question. Who is Jesus? Burning on everyone's lips. And in this exchange, we see the human response, the right answer. But today, in the gospel, we see the divine response. The Transfiguration, I think, takes place because God wanted to answer that question definitely, once and for all. Who is Jesus? And at the Transfiguration, three significant events occurred. One, Jesus' appearance was transformed. Two, Moses and Elijah appeared with him on the mountain. And three, God spoke to the disciples. All three of these events were part of God's response to the question, who is Jesus? The first significant event, the actual Transfiguration. And Matthew describes 6 days, Jesus goes up to the mountain, he takes Peter, James, and John, and he leads them to a mountain, and there he was transfigured before him, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. if only Tide could use that in their advertising. Now, there's a similar incident that occurs in the Old Testament, and again, Moses has come down from the mountain after being in the presence of the Lord for 40 days, and I was just looking here in the Bible, and that reading from Exodus today, it goes on for 7 chapters where Moses is told to how to set the table, what to do about the tabernacle, the offerings, the lampstand, the altar of burnt offering, the courtyard, the lampstand, again, the priestly garments, I don't know how this guy remembered all this stuff, the breastplate, other priestly garments, consecration of the priests, just a second, here we go, the altar of incense, the atonement money, the basin for washing. This is all 40 days up there, 7 chapters here. Incense, anointing oil. And then in chapter 32, we have our famous story of what? The golden calf. So 7 chapters later. In the same way as the glory of God was reflected in Moses, so God revealed to Peter, James, and John, Jesus in his glory. It gave to the disciples a clear visual evidence of who the teacher was. They didn't have to guess at it anymore. God's response to the question who Jesus was is to reveal, to disclose Jesus in full glory. He shone like the sun. His clothes became dazzling white. And the second event that happened was Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus and they're chatting. They're talking with each other. Moses, the great lawgiver of the people of Israel, and Elijah, one of the greatest Old Testament prophets. It was as if the princes of Israel's religious and spiritual thought told Jesus to continue his walk to the cross, and they will be with you. Luke, in his version of the event, writes, they spoke about his departure, which was about to bring fulfillment at Jerusalem. And after this, God speaks. The two patriarchs disappear, and Jesus alone remains. For the law and the prophets had fulfilled their purpose, and they had passed away. And what remains is Jesus, the fulfillment of both. A new era is on the horizon. The old covenant represented by Moses and Elijah is going to pass away, and the new covenant is going to come to life through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus could go to Jerusalem now, certain that at least one small group of men knew who he was, certain that what he was going was the epitome of all the life and the thought and the work of his nation Israel. And the third thing that happened was God spoke. God's voice spoke for a second time. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from, "This is my son whom I love, listen to him." When God spoke, he simply said this. He simply said, "This is my son whom I love, listen to him." God didn't say, "Listen to Moses and Elijah." His final three words were, "Listen to Jesus." And when he had finished speaking, Elijah and Moses were gone. Only Jesus remains. And that may speak to the primacy of Christ. And on this day, Peter, James, and John were given a heavenly vision to prepare and give them courage for their own cross. James will be the last disciple to die for Christ. Sorry, James will be the first disciple to die for Christ in Acts 12. And John will be the last. And he will go through severe persecution before he dies. I think he was 90. Peter will later experience many occasions of suffering. And tradition has, by his own request, been crucified upside down. And these men on that day were given a newfound confidence on the mountain. Confidence in the word of God, the law, and the prophets, and each of them later would pen this in the New Testament themselves. And Peter got the message. And he may not have told others what happened when he came down from the mountain, but he wrote about it in our second reading today. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. Look, clearly, such moments are not granted to everybody, not even to all those who believe, the faithful. No one knows why some people receive divine revelation and others don't. But like all other things in life, people's experience differ. So revelation, epiphanies, may not necessarily happen on a mountaintop. But if we are alert and fully awake, we will see the Lord in those we meet, in the suffering friends, in a chance encounter with someone, in a passage from a book, or even in church on Sunday morning. It can happen in a simple morning ritual when you say, "Lord, show yourself to me. Reveal more of who you are so that I can live and work for your glory." God is so ready and willing to reveal fully his glory in our lives. And as Jesus ascended again on his journey to Jerusalem and his death, and he will descend into the lowest points of human existence, and we will walk along with him. We will walk with Jesus, and Jesus will walk with us. And God's glory will not only be manifested on a perfect mountaintop, God's glory will be shown in every step, every day of Jesus' life and ministry, and even in his gory death, so that our lives may be transfigured, and so that we may show the glory of God day by day, day by day. For all we need to do is ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the doors will be open. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Let us pray. Christ, our only true light, may the light and love of God shine in our hearts and through the universe, that the whole creation may be transfigured to glory in and through Christ, radiant in the splendor of the wounds of love. In your name we pray. Amen.